The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Please stay tuned for a message of God's sovereign grace.
I want to begin tonight by reading the first 12 verses of Revelation chapter 16, and I know this is lengthy, but this contains the entirety of the subject matter that is now being addressed. So in Revelation chapter 16, beginning with verse 1, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth.' And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, 'Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy.' And I heard another out of the altar say, 'Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments.' And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared." And then to complete the subject here, go down to verse 17. "And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, 'It is done.'" Now, I skipped over some verses there, not only for the sake of time, but also because there is so much included between the vial of the sixth angel and the vial of the seventh angel. But I wanted to read verse 17 because after the seventh angel pours out his vial, the verse concludes by saying, "It is done." So whatever's under consideration here is something which is brought to completion. And you remember that so much of the book of Revelation is laid out in such a way that you get a picture or an image of a particular event, oftentimes the judgment of God on the wicked, only to have that same event described using different symbolic language. Now here in chapter 16, as he talks about the seven angels pouring out their seven vials, you see a description of God's judgment on the wicked, and it clearly indicates that this includes his eternal judgment on the wicked. And I believe that each of these vials, if you notice what is said about each one in terms of its results, you'll see that this is just an intensification, if that's a word, of God's judgment. And as you reach the conclusion of these seven vials, you'll see, as we've already read, that this full and eternal judgment has been completed on the wicked. So notice in verse 1, he says, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." You remember these vials are saucers or shallow bowls, so you have a picture of an angel with a bowl, and that bowl, which we would think of as containing a liquid, is symbolic of God's wrath being poured out on the earth. That's the image you're to have. He said in verse 2, "And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image." Now, notice that in verse 1, these vials of the wrath of God, they're poured out upon the earth. But then in verse 2, it says, "The first went and poured out his vial upon the earth." That first phrase in verse 1 that refers to the earth is referring to the world in general and all its contents. But then you'll notice here as you read on that in verse 2, he's speaking of the land on the earth in particular. So that's one thing to notice there, to understand or to picture this in your mind. And notice this, he says, verse 2, "The first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast." Now, he talks about this judgment poured out upon the earth, that is, on the land, and it's poured out upon the men which had the mark of the beast. Now, one of the main things we'll look at tonight, and it may be all we look at tonight, will be how that those that have the mark of the beast are symbolic of the non-elect, and those that have the seal of the living God, as we've looked at in several other places, is symbolic of God's children. And I'm going to look at several verses to illustrate that. But first of all, notice what happened when this first angel poured out his vial upon the earth. It says that these men that had the mark of the beast, upon them fell a noisome and grievous sore. Now that is a word there that is the same, basically, as what happened to Job in Job chapter 2 and verse 7. And we'll not turn to that, but you remember that Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet unto his crown. Now that's what is indicated here when this first angel pours out his vial, which is the wrath of God, upon those men which had the mark of the beast. When he pours it out upon them, he says, "There fell a noisome and grievous sore." So there's a very clear image of judgment in the same way that Satan was suffered to attack Job. Here we have God via an angel directly pouring out wrath upon those that have the mark of the beast. Now let's spend some time considering the description of these upon whom the wrath of God is poured. He says they have the mark of the beast and they worship his image. Now, I want you to look at two verses that we've already covered that use this terminology, and then look at one that we've not covered yet because it's in a later chapter. First of all, in Romans chapter 9, or rather Revelation chapter 9 and verse 3. You remember this is those locusts that came out of the bottomless pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And notice here, instead of referring to them as those that have the mark of the beast, they're described as those that have not the seal of God in their foreheads. But they're one and the same people. In the same way that you could say that those that have the seal of the living God are those that have not the mark of the beast. And you'll see it used that way in these several verses that I want to mention. But keep in mind, those that have the seal of the living God are God's elect, and that indicates that they are born of the Spirit. Those that have the mark of the beast are those that are identified with the beast. That is, those that are not the children of God. So here, he describes these locusts that come out of the bottomless pit to attack those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Now look at Revelation chapter 19 and verse 20. We're not to this point in the book yet, but I want to get this one verse. This is speaking of the judgment of God. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now that's obvious as to what's under consideration, isn't it? Notice it says, these that are cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone are those that received the mark of the beast. And I like to distinguish the mark of the beast from the seal of the living God this way. The seal of the living God is that imprint that God makes on his elect children when they're born again. And while the word mark essentially means the same thing, obviously there's a reason why the King James translators consistently used seal with respect to God's children and mark with respect to those that are not the children of God. And I believe the word mark is distinguished from the word seal in that it emphasizes these that identify themselves with the beast. You see, as a child of God, we're sealed. He puts his imprint upon us, but the wicked identify themselves with the beast. And then look at Revelation chapter 14. This is another one we've already looked at, so we'll just read it. And here he mentions the mark of the beast, Revelation 14, verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. You remember in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 that the Lord will come in flaming fire with his holy angels, taking vengeance on them that know not God. That's the same language used here. When it says he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. So there's no question that when you read over here in chapter 16, verse 2, about those men which had the mark of the beast, that that's referring to those that are not the children of God. And in the final judgment, God's wrath, symbolized here by the vial of the first angel, will be poured out upon them. Now let's look at what we're more interested in, and that is those that have the seal of the living God. Look at Revelation chapter 7, verses 2 and 3. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now you remember what we said about this, that judgment is being held back until all of God's elect have been born of the Spirit. You remember there's these four angels coming from all direction, and another angel comes on the scene and is essentially saying, hold off until we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Chapter 15 and verse 2. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. This is a vision or a view of heaven. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. Who's in heaven? It's those that have gotten the victory over the mark of the beast, the children of God, those that have been sealed by the living God. And then lastly, look at Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So notice all these verses sprinkled throughout Revelation that refer to God's children as those that have been sealed or those that receive not the mark of the beast. And it refers to those that are not the children of God, upon whom his wrath is poured out upon, as those that have received the mark of the beast. That is, they are identified with the beast. So now go back to Revelation chapter 16. And tonight we're doing a lot of straight reading from the scripture in order to stay with the sequence of what he's talking about here. Notice in 16 and verse 3, "And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea." Remember, the first one poured out his vial upon the earth, that is the land. "The second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea." I simply want to draw from that that God's judgment is poured out upon the land. It's now poured out upon the sea. Verse 4, "And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say," now this is significant, notice, as you could apply this to all the wrath of God, "I heard the angel of the water say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus." Notice it says God is righteous to judge the wicked in this way. Why? Verse 6, "For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy." You remember the first man who was murdered, Abel, that it says, or rather the Lord said to Cain, "His blood crieth out from the earth." And that's the terminology used here. Notice the sea became as blood. The rivers and the fountains of waters became blood. And in this verse 6, it says the reason this judgment is coming is because they, that is the wicked, have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. "And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." Now, as we look at this next one, I want to liken it unto the coming of the Lord in judgment. All of this is referring to that, but this fourth angel uses specific symbolic language that even the Apostle Paul uses when he's speaking of judgment in a context that is not using symbolic language. Notice Revelation 16 and verse 8. "The fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun." Now here we're not talking about it being poured out on the world, whether it be the land or the sea or the rivers of water. But he says it's poured out upon the sun. And we'll see why he uses this language. "The fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory." I remember way back earlier in this book that I spent a lot of time one night showing you in the scriptures that wicked men do not repent. They refuse to repent. And that's how they're described here. In spite of the fact that power was given to this angel to scorch men with fire and great heat, the result was they blasphemed the name of God. which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Now, we're not going to look at that fifth angel tonight. I just read that because in like manner, when the vial of the fourth angel is poured out, they repent not. And when the vial of the fifth angel is poured out, they repent not. But I want to conclude tonight just showing you how this description of the wrath of God poured out of the vial held by the fourth angel is language that Paul uses in describing the second coming of the Lord. This fourth angel had power to scorch men with fire and with great heat. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And remember, Paul is not using symbolic language here. And see if this doesn't sound like the same event. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, writing to God's children, writing to the church, Paul says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." He says the Lord's coming with his mighty angels in flaming fire. Not only is that judgment poured out upon the wicked, but that same heat and fire will be used to destroy the earth. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire are dissolved," or rather shall be dissolved, "and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." So clearly, here in Revelation 16, as he gives you the picture of seven angels in sequence pouring out their vials containing the wrath of God upon the earth, that this is speaking of God's final and eternal judgment. This fourth angel uses the symbolic language of fire, just like Paul used. Now, there'll be some other things to say about the fifth and sixth angel, but remember in verse 17, the seventh, the last angel, poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." So I hope this will be just another clear description of God's judgment on the wicked. And you see the flow of Revelation. Because even though he says it is done, We still have chapter 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, and 22. To use more language to describe the same event, but sometimes it focuses on different aspects of this wicked world that is the recipient of God's judgment.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.